Thanks for downloading this IMSA Radio podcast. It's for personal use only and must not be broadcast, reproduced, or used in any form without permission.
Tell your friends they can get their own copy by visiting IMSAradio.com or search for IMSA Radio wherever they get their podcasts.
The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich on IMSA Radio.
Hello, everybody. It's time to go live for our first race of the Rolex 24 Hours weekend on IMSAradio.com. It's the Idemitsu 2021 Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich. Hello, everybody. My name's John Hindorf, and Shay Adam is joining me in our global broadcast centre. And this is the first time, Shay, that we've seen MX-5 Cup cars at Daytona. And this is going to be a blast. The sun glinting beautifully off Lake Lloyd, and we're ready to go with a 27-car entry. This is going to be entertainment at its finest. We're in northern Florida, just off Daytona Beach, with 3.5 miles around, 12 corners. It is, of course, using the majority of the speedway, but with that tricky little infield section that adds six turns to the course, and of the bus stop on the back straight, which slows things down just a little bit. We've already had qualifying. The best times have set the grid for the first race, the second best times for the second. Shay will give us the rundown on who has been doing what in qualifying and who we should be looking out for at the moment, but they are rolling right now, so let's give you a rundown of how they line up, the 27 cars. Quite a lot of teams, actually, who have multiple entries here. And we'll start with Hixon Motorsports in 27th position for Savannah Little in the 63 car. Then on the row ahead, it's Moishe Uretsky and Jensel Altman for McCombie McAleer Racing in the 26th and 25th position in the 55 and 13. Derek Ware for Hixon Motorsports has Hannah Grisham for company on the next row forward. Peter Atwater for Copeland Motorsports in the 26th. Then the 47 of Hixon Motorsports, Brian Hixon, is in 21st position. On the outside of row 10, it's David Starr for Slipstream Performance. He's got his teammate Herman Palermo alongside him in the 20. 33, Alex Batura for Slipstream Performance is in position 18 with Lonnie Unser alongside for Hixon Motorsports. That's a famous name. More about Lonnie and who's spotting for her in a moment. Sabra Cook for Hixon Motorsport, 37, is on the outside of row number 8 with Aaron Johnson in the Provision Motorsports car, number 24. Drake Kemper, another Provision car, the 99, on the outside of row 7 with Juan Hernandez for Team Guatemala Racing alongside him. On row 6, Daniel Williams for Copeland Motorsport has Josie Antanasio for company in the 43. Another Copeland Motorsport car is in position 10 on the outside of row number 5 for Luke and Mars. McCombie Motorsports, McCombie McAleer Racing, should I say, Justin Piscatel, only down in row 9. Justin has a lot of experience, but that doesn't necessarily translate into being at the front of the field. This is a spec series, and you've got to deliver. He's got Brian Ortiz on the inside of that row for Copeland Motorsports. One row further forward, it's Sam Paley for McCombie McAleer Racing. JTR Motorsports' Chris Nunes is in the 32 in 6th position. In 5th, Jared Thomas for JTR Motorsports Engineering and Hixon Motorsports. Selin Rowland is alongside him. And Michael Carter is on the inside of row number 3 with Preston Pardis on the outside of row number 2 for Hixon Motorsports. And on pole position, Gresham Wagner for Spark Performance will lead them to the green flag. And that is the number 5 car, the red, white and black machine on the inside. And Gresham has some experience, it's fair to say. Are we going to see the ND Mazda MX-5 safety car, pace car, as it is now, dive in? I think we are on this lap. Yes, we are. So Gresham Wagner on our right, coming down to the line with the black and white Preston Pardes Hixon Motorsport car on the right hand side. We'll get the shirt, Adam, in just a moment. 45 minutes is quite a long race for these drivers as they come to the line for the first green flag of 2021 and the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup presented by BF Goodrich. And we are racing in the pole position. Man dives to the inside very early on. Pardes not able to make a position. What a fantastic start that was from everybody. Selin Roland for Hixon Motorsports in the second row in the 87 car has really made a good start, but wasn't able to capitalise on that. It was just a wall of MX-5s in front of that 87 car. Pole position man then, Shea Adam, has managed to convert it into a half a lap of a lead from, in second place, Michael Carter for Carter Racing Enterprises in the red and white car with the red on the top and the white on the bottom. Decent start. Good news is we've got everybody across the line. Welcome to Idemitsu MX-5 Racing for 2021. Shea Adam, we can barely take a breath. Now I get you into the broadcast because I need to take a breath. Out onto the high banks for the first time and down towards the back straight onto the braking area for the bus stop. Paul Mann, Gresham Wagner for Spark Performance, throws up a little bit of dirt with the right hand side BF Goodrich tyres there as he gets through further back down the field. There's a couple of cars that look like they're in police colours. They absolutely are, and they are working their way up the field. Shea Adam, there's a good reason for these cars, and they are, well, this is social responsibility. We love to see this in motor racing, and those two MX-5s in the black and white colours are raising money for a very good cause indeed.
They are from Hixon Motorsports, car number 42 of Preston Pardes and 47 of Brian Hixon himself. Look like police cars to try and raise awareness for Blue Help, which is a charity that works on police officer mental health and helping the families of officers who commit suicide. Right now, those cars doing very well, up in second. And the second of the cars down to 19th, Brian Hixon, trying to fight his way back up through the field. It is chaotic out there. And the reason that everybody is jousting for the lead of the race, John, is because we have points awarded for the most laps led. 10 bonus points have already been given to our pole sitter, Gresham Wagner, for winning the pole position. But you get 10 more points for the fastest lap and 10 more points for the most laps led.
As a son of a serving police officer, now departed, I love that initiative, and given current events as well, that is a very, very sound way to be looking at your social responsibility in motor racing. Wagner, Pardes, Carter, Roland, Thomas, Nunes, Parley, Ortiz, Piscatel, that's how they started, and they are out again across the line. Look at the line of Mazda MX-5s. This, get used to this, ladies and gentlemen. This is absolutely fantastic stuff. The battle for second place with a 0-8 of Carter, just ahead of this. So this is a battle for third, in fact, down into the braking area. This is magnificent stuff. Loving to watch this throughout of the bus stop. Number four, the Copeland Motorsport of Brian Ortiz and Bella Racing right in the mix. 0-8 there. Michael Carter for Carter Racing Enterprises. The Hixon Motorsports. There has been, we have to talk about this year, there has been a special edict from the organisers here and in the driver briefing about contact on the banking and about effectively bump drafting as they go round. And then there's a little mistake there by the 08 of Michael Carter. He's, I think, going to lose it at least one, maybe two positions here. He stayed on the right-hand side. He goes down into the International Horseshoe. But the race director does not want to see overt contact on the high banks.
Yeah, for safety reasons, intentional contact or sustained will not be allowed at the entirety of the event this whole weekend. One of the weekend reasons is that they're trying to avoid a major incident on the banking. But issued this morning, the penalties have been passed down. If you receive one offense, you receive a 1 second penalty added post race to your time. Your second offense is a 5 second penalty on top of that, and your third offense is a drive through. So race control is taking no chances with this. But we have already had a penalty called in this race. A false start was awarded to Drake Kemper, who is one of the Precision Motorsports drivers, and Provision have two cars in the field, the second of which is Aaron Johnson. So this actually hurts their duo because now they're going to have to work separately. We've got a change for the lead of the race on the track, as well as that is the 42 going back to the lead. So Preston Partis now ahead of Sullen Rowland, who came to a stop at that area on the track in practice yesterday afternoon. So good to see that the 89 has fully recovered. In third place now, it's Jared Thomas, the Rookie of the Year champion last year, looking to try and do one better by taking home the overall championship this year, which awards $250,000 worth of a scholarship.
Apologies for those of you who are trying to watch in the UK. Not sure why you can't see the pictures at the moment, but we'll get on to that for you. This is meant to be unblocked and without brakes. There's the 98 car going slowly. This is the Lemons of Love. This is a great story for Drake Kemp, Derek Ware, excuse me, for Hickson Motorsports. Lemons of Love, the car's got a left front puncture. Lemons of Love, if you don't know, look it up on the internet. They provide, I don't know how to call it, care packages. Lovely things for people who are in chemotherapy and having to look after themselves going through chemotherapy. It's been going for quite a while, and one of the things they do to raise money is to have a sweepstake for a car. For the last few years, it's been an MX-5. It's a perfect fit for this. Meantime, heading out onto the banking once again, Shit. This is absolutely fantastic stuff. Heading up the high bank again. And we've got another 37 minutes of this.
Yeah, it's just awesome, isn't it? And if you're trackside, if you happen to be lucky enough to be trackside, you might notice that the cars sound a little bit louder than normal. When they were testing the cars, Cliffs Performance, who builds the cars, and by the way, just 5 miles up the road from Daytona International Speedway, they found that there was a slight problem with the exhaust and how it was working at Daytona. So they removed the muffler and affixed a shorter pipe that now points straight downward. So the cars, which always sound great, now sound just a little bit better.
I remember many years ago watching a what was then Formula Mazda race at Charlotte Motor Speedway, and I've got a feeling we're going to see the same kind of drafting here as we come round with groups of cars who are nose to tail and then fan out into the braking area to turn one. And this is exactly what's happening again across the line. Wagner, Pardus, Carter, Roland, Thomas, Nunes, Parley, Ortiz and Piscatel as they go through. But frankly, anybody makes a mistake, then they've got a 6-speed sequential SADEV gearbox, which is new since the last time that you and I share watched this. And around has gone, that looks like the 59, that's Hernandez, I think, from Guatemala Racing. Yes, it is, in the white car. He's recovered on the infield. The sequential gearbox means push the stick forward, shift down, pull it back to go back. But these cars still, Shea, need to be driven.
Very much so. It is a slight step away from the H-pattern gearbox, but it's still the sort of situation where you have to take your hand off the wheel, so you do have to have that one-handed car control that we love from MX-5 racing. You just see the tails sliding out naturally as the drivers are trying to regain control. But this breakaway that we've got at the front is really interesting to me because we've got two Hixon Motorsport cars in Pardis and Roland working together. And then right behind them, the JTR Motorsport car solo of Jared Thomas, his teammate further back in the field. And then Carter Racing, the solo entry for the season of that team car, our defending champion. We've got a lot of different aspects going on here, but the Hixon Motorsport cars have not been able to work together to pull away from the other two. They're just pulling them along.
Again, four cars in the space of probably 3¾ cars, let's be honest. If you're on the street like that at the moment, you'd be getting looked after. Preston Pardis then for Hixon Motorsport in that black and white MX-5 leads them to the tri-oval. Can he hold on to that? Roland Thomas, Carter Pally, Nunes, Ortiz, Wagner, Mars Palamo, your top 10. Now here's the opportunity round the outside, further back in the field for our pole sitter. That's Wagner, the number 5 car, trying to go around the outside. I'm not sure he's going to get that done. And in fact, he might lose a position to Nunes. In fact, I think he does that. Oh, they're still jockeying for position down to the International Horseshoe at the middle part of the infield. Oh, Shea, I have missed this racing so much.
Oh, me too. It's like a warm pair of shoes that you put on that you haven't worn for a long time, and it still just fits perfectly. I'm not at all surprised to see that Gresham Wagner is impatient with trying to get past everyone else. He is the fastest car on the track. He currently has the fastest lap time, worth 10 points, remember, as he's fighting his way back up. He was our pole sitter. We know that car is super fast, and he knows how to race, too. He's been through this championship before last year, had the most laps led last year, but didn't come home in the top three of the championship.
Hixon, JTR, Carter, McCombie, JTR, Spark, Copeland, Slipstream, Copeland for your top 10. Only 5.4 seconds between the top 10, but the action is at the front of the field. Oh my goodness, how close is that? I don't think you get an exercise book between those. Setting sun at Daytona International Speedway. Beautiful evening, clear skies, and Mazda MX-5 racing in the first round of the Idemitsu 2021 Mazda MX-5 Cup, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. These cars all started as street cars, let's not forget, from Hiroshima in Japan to actually just a few miles down the road. And Troy and Todd Fliss, the first thing they do is take them all apart. I am not kidding you. They take them all apart. They take out all the sound deadening, all the bits and pieces on the seams, and then they strip them back to the shell, and then they add over 250 race-specific parts, including the gearbox, parts of the diff, the cooling, and of course all the safety equipment. Also give them a little bit of power boost as well, although frankly, I've driven an ND on the road. In fact, I was fortunate enough to have driven all of the Mazda MX-5 variants last year, thanks to Mazda UK. Owen Mildenhall, I know, will be watching and listening to this right now. And you can't pick a favourite from any one of them. They've all got their own. They all have their own personality and character. And this current ND version of the MX-5 absolutely fulfills the sports car mentality that is in every single Mazda. Great battle going on further back down the field for 12th on down, the 43. That's the Attanasio Copeland Motorsport car, then Justin Piscatel, then Cook, Williams, Atwater. They're all there as well, and they're battling just outside the top 10. Shit, Adam.
There's been quite a bit of contact between those leading pair, though. The Hixon Motorsport teammates might be drawing the attention of race control, as Sullen Rowland has been connected with the rear bumper of Preston Partis quite a bit coming into the bus stop. I was just seeing it. And then also, as they come through the tri-oval, there has been a few moments of green and gray paint on the back of that beautiful black and white police livery paint. But the car that everyone needs to be watching out for in the field right now is Gresham Wagner. That number five machine, purple lap time around the last time. And now he's gone overall fastest through sector one once again. Gresham wants to be in that leading pack.
How are they going to keep their concentration for another half an hour? I'm not entirely certain. Down towards the braking area for turn one. A fabulous battle just outside the top 10. Into the first corner, 24. Jensom, the Provision Motorsport car. Oh, what a dive down the inside there. Just... did that get knocked? Didn't quite get through in the evening sunshine, sitting in behind the couple of Motorsport number 41 car. I am loving this two-bit shit.
I actually spoke yesterday with Aaron Johnson just after he had his first ever running in one of these cars on the high banks of Daytona, and asked him why he went with the Provision team. He said he tested with a couple different teams, but ultimately it was the feeling of the group of people that made it feel like a family. He said, for example, normally people, when they get a Global MX-5 Cup car, they wrap it. They don't paint the car. Nah, they painted his soul red number 24 machine. And the youngster out of Sulphur, Louisiana, who's recently moved to Indy, says that this is exactly the kind of family he was looking for.
Looks so good in that dark red. That says, I think it's something like 65% of Mazdas worldwide are ordered in soul red or soul red crystal. It is just the Mazda colour. Meantime, the police are getting a little bit of hassle from behind at the moment. That is the number 42. And Preston Pardus for Hixon Motorsport knows he doesn't have to look in his mirrors, because right behind him, the number 87 is there, and probably just feeling the odd little bump from Sullen Rowland for Hixon Motorsport. Believe it or not, they are teammates. Doesn't look much like it at the moment. The silver car with the red stripes in third position is that of the number 96 of Jared Thomas in the Lemons of Love. Another one of the Lemons have got. Meantime, drafting down through the tri-oval for the positions down towards the end of the top 10. That's magnificent stuff. 1, 2, 3 wide into turn one here.
Yeah, Aaron Johnson actually gets stuck out on the outside a little bit. He's dropping a couple of places, but he'll be able to work his way back up through there in no time, as it's Brian Ortiz, I believe, who's starting to get involved in all of this as well in the number 4 machine. There wasn't supposed to be any drafting or bump drafting allowed in this race, but goodness, there's a lot of paint sharing going on. And at the head of the field, it's still Preston Partis and Sullen Rowland going back and forth. And I have been reliably informed that they are not only teammates, but best friends, or BFFs, if we're going to be technical about it.
Well, yeah, for the moment, that might not last this race, never mind the rest of the season. In fact, it might not last the rest of the weekend, to be quite honest. Leading quartet out onto the high banks of Daytona with still 26 minutes. Wherever you are in the world, tuning in live to this broadcast of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup for 2021, presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. This is exactly what we love to see. The top four sheer takes a big breath. Imagine what it's like sitting in one of these cars at the moment as Pardus breaks for a nice bit of driving into the bus stop, and the leader Preston Pardus just gets a little bit, and we're talking about half a car's length, maybe three quarters, but that's quite a benefit as he went in there further down the field. The battles continue for 9th, 10th and 11th. That's the two Copeland black and red cars, and right in behind that is the Provision Motorsport LLC car. It's a blue car. This is magnificent stuff, Shea. Wherever you look, there's battles going on.
International Horseshoe. Meanwhile, this cluster of five cars will not break up. They do like driving side by side. The entirety of the racetrack leading the way is the number 41 of Mars. He's a youngster out of go-karting. Well, he's learning pretty quickly what it's like to drive in a car with doors and bumpers on it. We have those two Copeland cars together, Joey Attanasio and, of course, Aaron Johnson still in there too. And the 89 of Justin Piscitel just sitting back a little bit, the veteran racer. He knows how these things end. He's letting it all shake out in front of him.
I'm loving the time of day we're racing here. Coming up on 20 past, in fact, just on 20 past five at Daytona. The sun just beginning to sink. We've got almost that golden hour light on the infield area. Parts of the banking in shadow, of course. And the racing is absolutely outstanding. The liveries look fantastic. And once again, a bit of bump drafting between the leaders. Pardes, Roland, Thomas now. Well, I was about to say a car lengths back, but you can only say that for a moment. It's a snapshot. It's a fraction of time as they come through the bus stop again on lap number 10. And again, oh, that was a bit heavier contact there. From second place to first, and that's going to be starting to be looked at for Seth Roland, the man from Orlando, Florida, for Hickson Motorsports, on his teammate that leads. Heavy or prolonged contact, absolutely talked about in driver's meeting and reinforced in effectively a communique that went out before the race today. What nobody wants to see is cars in the wall here. We've managed to make sure that that doesn't happen. And Luca Mars may be off the pace here for Copeland in the bright orange, black and silver car. He's dropped away from the battle. He was just outside the top 10 and he's dropped away for the moment. Meantime at the lead. Sorry, Shea, go ahead.
I was just going to say, I can't tell if Luca Mars has stayed out on the track or if indeed he's come into the pit lane. There's nothing showing up on timing to indicate that he came in, but he was slow coming out of Speedway 4, so clearly something going on with that car.
So we are halfway through, exactly halfway through, the first round of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup, with presented by BF Goodrich Tyres. And now we see the problem for the car that was battling inside the top 15 or so has now dropped a lap, and Luca Mars has had the ignominy of the leaders going through, so there is clearly some kind of problem for the driver. As the leaders come out of the bus stop once again for the 11th time, the 2-litre Sky Active engine singing in the evening sunshine. And again, the bump draft between second and first, and indeed the third place car of JTR Motorsports, the number 96 car of Jared Thomas, the man from Indiana. He was giving a little bit of a helping, well, nose, if not hand, to the second place driver through the tri-oval. I think what the race control and the race director will be looking at is making sure that they are not getting people out of shape on the banking or making contact under braking. These top four have actually, there's been a bit of contact. It's been incidental contact. And for the moment, they are all still, all four wheels in line, and that's what the race director will be looking for.
Yep, and I think we got an answer as to the Luke Mars issue dropping down so slow because we've had a penalty called for continuous contact.
Ah.
It's a warning for now, but it was between that car, the 41, and the 43 of Joe Attanasio out of Windermere, Florida. So that tells me that perhaps they were sustaining contact and maybe Luca's car got a little bit wiggly out there. But it does mean that race control is watching, and we do know that they will be more and more severe as the race goes on. Particularly, any last lap antics will not be dealt with.
Yeah, the
in a kind fashion.
Well, indeed. Copeland Motorsports, Joey Attanasio then from Florida down the road at Windermere, not that far away from where we are now. And I wonder if Lucas' car's just maybe got a little bit of damage and he's slightly overheating. The Sky Active motor, under 20 minutes to go now, well into the second half of the race. The BF Goodrich tyre standing up very nicely. Thank you very much indeed. As this phenomenal battle, I'm not sure where I'd want to be at the moment. We've got Hixon Motorsports first and second with Preston Pardis from... he could not be any closer to the home. He could throw a lug nut to New Smyrna Beach from where he is right now. And he leads from in second place. His teammate, Selen Rollin, from Orlando. So we're talking about two Florida natives, first and second. And they are, in theory at least, working for the same team. But I think it's every driver for themselves right now. And these four have pulled away by about 5 seconds from the pole sitter. Remember back when we started some 20-odd minutes ago that Gresham Magnet from Williamsburg and the Spark Performance car was on pole position. He leads the rest of the pack and has the fastest lap with a 2.85, but at the moment he's 5 seconds back, and he'll be disappointed that he hasn't been able to replicate his one lap pace in the race.
Yeah, and as it is right now, Gresham will get 20 points for his fastest lap and for getting the pole position, combining those two achievements. Preston Pardis needs to hold on for... well, no, I think he's done it, actually. I think he has led every lap up to this point, so that means that he gets 10 points. But race control is watching. Selen Rollin has fallen under their guys, under the naughty boy step. He's been issued a warning for continuous contact. So race control watching that 87 machine. That's the gray and yellow one, and let's face it, it is quite easy to watch. Very bright out there. But he's got that warning already attached to him. If it happens again, it could result in time added to his finish and then potentially a drive-through.
Yeah, continuous contact is what they're looking at. There are radio sets in the cars. It depends how much your team want to hand to you. And you have to have a spotter here at Daytona as well. And we talked about Lonnie Unser earlier on. And... obviously, a fantastic motorsport dynasty share, and her spotter is another one of that dynasty. She's running in 20th at the moment.
Very much so. The Unser family is one that everyone who grows up in racing knows, everyone who grows up as a fan. She's the daughter of Johnny, whose uncle is Al Sr. Yes, there will be a quiz on that later, so you better draw your little diagram. But her father, Johnny, is up on top of Daytona International Speedway right now, way up there where you can see pretty much all of the track. There's a slight blind spot as you go into turn six. But other than that, he's the one in her ear trying to tell her when she's clear, when she's safe. And if she needs to go a little bit faster here, and her response could be, well, you come down and do it then, Dad.
Yeah, and I'm sure those conversations will be going on. There's nothing better than being right on the top of the grandstand looking down on the Daytona International Road Course many years ago. In fact, my first ever visit to Daytona, I was fortunate enough to be invited up there. It was a cup race, and oh my goodness, it's a different world up there. And that's where the spotters are. They're relaying their information to the drivers. It's even in a small open sports car like an MX-5, it's not always easy to see where people are. You are enclosed with a full face helmet. You have a hands device. The special safety seat, which is one of the more than 250 parts specific racing parts that are added to these MX5 Cup cars has sort of ears that come round. It's really difficult. Your peripheral vision does so much, but then you've almost got to hear and smell and feel the cars around you. That's where your spotter comes in, particularly when you're on the high banks of Daytona and the World Centre of Speed. We're down to the last third of this race in the first round of the Intermitu Mazda MX-5 Cup, and battles right throughout the field as in 16th position the black Hickson Motorsport 72 car has got three challengers behind.
Ooh.
My goodness me, that is very tight indeed. That's Grisham, Hernandez, Hickson and Altman all there looking for the odd place here or there. And this is how the championship's going to be, Shea, all season long. Whether we're here today and tomorrow at Daytona or whether we're on the road courses later on in the season, this is MX5 racing at its absolute best.
Yeah, we've got, after this weekend, the streets of St. Petersburg to go to. So a street course for these cars. I can't wait for that. Then off to Mid-Ohio Sports Car Course. Get your popcorn ready for that one, too. A technical circuit that definitely will show off the enhancements of these MX-5s. Up north of the border to Canadian Tire Motorsport Park, one of my personal favorites. The Alana Long 100 at Road America the first
Classic.
Week of August. That's going to be awesome. Off to WeatherTech Raceway Laguna Seca in mid-September. Who doesn't want to go to Monterey in September? And then finishing up the season at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta in October. It is simply an awesome calendar that Mazda has put together this year.
It doesn't matter how early in the morning you've got to get up to drive an MX-5 car at Michelin Raceway Road Atlanta. I know, I've done it. Didn't necessarily cover myself in complete glory. It was all fine till it wasn't, thank you Mazda, but these cars suit so many different circuits, and the road circuits, well, you know, on any given weekend more Mazdas have been raced on road circuits around North America than any other manufacturer, and the MX-5 has absolutely led the charge for anybody who thinks they know about driving. If you haven't driven a three-pedal MX-5 with an H-pattern stick shift, yes, I know the race cars now have got the SADEV six-speed sequential. This is pure driving pleasure. Pit yourself against this. That's what it's all about. It is the joy of driving, whether you're on the street and your favorite country road or across the top of the mountains, or whether you're on the track here at Daytona International Speedway in the World Center of Speed. That's what MX5 is all about, and that's what we're seeing today. And these four at the front of the field. Now, nothing's changed for a few laps. That doesn't mean nothing is happening. And in fact, we've just seen a spin and some right rear suspension damage for the number 92. What a shame.
That's
that
Lonnie.
Has been. Yeah, that is Lonnie. That's Lonnie Unser, who has clearly had a coming together with something. They are just coming out of the bus stop. And
wow.
Did something break there? Because I think the right rear suspension looks like it may have had a problem. It certainly didn't look like it was. Yeah, the right rear wheel is not towed in the right way. It's pointing too far at the middle of the car, and that car, the Swap Dragon Liquor Hot Sauce car, is going no further. Now, will we get then a full course caution just to try try and get that car clear? We've got 11 and a half minutes left, and if you think, by the way, that these cars sound loud even in the wide open spaces of Daytona, well, you know what, you'd be absolutely right, because the mufflers have been removed here, not necessarily just to give more noise, it gives a little bit more performance, and it makes the cars breathe a little bit easier. Pardes leading the current reigning SCCA Spec Miata national champion comes through the area that we've had the problem. Yellow flags will be out here. That's local yellow. Lonnie's car is off the racing line and down on the apron. I think we might race here, Shay. I think we might continue to race.
I think we're going to stay green. Race control doesn't want to throw a yellow because it would just take so much time out of this brilliant green flag contest that we've had as Michael Carter was going around the outside trying once again to get around Jared Thomas. But Jared has not made it easy, making him go the long way through turn one. And is Carter going to have enough of a run this time? He's definitely further up than he has been. But no, coming into the braking, the door closes once again.
So, further
oh,
down.
Oh, no, we went yellow.
Oh, we have gone yellow. 10 minutes and 5 seconds to go. We've gone yellow. We will see the Mazda MX-5 ND safety car on the track. I don't think it'll take much to get Lonnie Unser's car out of the way. Race control absolutely doing their best to allow Lonnie to try and get that car away. But I do think it's got some suspension or maybe some drive damage from that very vicious spin coming out of the bus stop. So it'll be Pardos, Villani, Thomas, Carter, Palamo, then Wagner, Nunes, Paley, Piscatel. Now, Justin Piscatel in that McCombie Magalia Racing on the restart, 9th position. What can he do? Safety car has picked up the field. It'll be a question of whether Lonnie Unser's car, that blue and green machine, the number 92, will take a flat tour, whether it needs to be lifted as to how much time we have left at the end of this one. Time counting down, under 9 minutes. I think they're going to have a go with just a tour, which is great because the pit lane is 15 seconds away from where the tour truck is right now.
A bit longer than that. She's just past the exit.
Well, yeah, true. There's, I would say, thank you very much. I have to say now, thank you very much indeed to our marshals. I know they're listening here at the circuit. Also, track services, recovery, and, of course, the medical staff, as well as our AMR, IMSA medical intervention team, who are on the scene there. They weren't needed. This was a car issue rather than a person issue. Oh, magnificent. It is a flat tour shit. I think that we are going to be ready to go. Probably at the end of this lap, actually, with the safety car coming through the bus stop now.
Yeah, given how long it takes for the cars to come around and complete a lap, 2 minutes. 10 seconds there, thereabouts. And while we're on lap times, by the way, shout out to BF Goodrich because these tires have not dropped off at all during the course of the race. The lap times have been super consistent. So I'm impressed with what we've seen from this G-Force 215 for the first time in this racing season, particularly at Daytona. It's not easy to build a tire to race on Daytona, and they have.
Take a breath. We've settled for a moment. The safety car lights are still on. And if we go, I think we're going to go one more time around. So we're going to be left with about 5 minutes, just under 5 minutes to go, I reckon, for this one. Right, where's your money? I'm going to ask you that now because obviously everybody's closed up. Justin Piscatel will not be happy in the 89 car in 9th position. This is a driver who has a reputation. He's come into MX-5 with a good reputation. We know what he's done in other IMSA categories. He's the pole meister. Every time we've seen him in a car, in whatever class he's been in, he's tended to get pole position. And the McCombie Magalia Racing cars are only 8th and 9th. And Justin will not be happy in that number 89, sitting in 9th position right now.
Where's my money? It's on a Mazda MX-5 Cup car in the field because good luck choosing any one of them.
You cannot say that.
I have just gotten the word, and it is one to go when they come by the line and see the green flag. This is a green-white checker. Preston Pardos is used to green white checkers. He has a NASCAR background. He runs in the Xfinity series every now and then. He is the reigning the SCCA Super Sweep champion from taking that and the SCCA runoff champ at Indy and Road America. Oh, how much he would love to add the prestigious Daytona International Speedway to his list of places where he's run. I've had a hard time looking at any other car today because he's been in the lead the whole of the race. I'm going to have a hard time picking anyone but him.
He's done a good job, but he's got to get the restart nailed. Not an easy thing on the high banks. Bit of weaving going around to keep the heat in the BF Goodrich tyres. The Mazda MX-5 ND safety car lights are out. It will pull away, and the safety car then leaves the field about now with what beautiful light we have here at Daytona. And it will be then the number 42 who brings them back to the line, and that is Hixon Motorsports Preston Pardis from down the road at New Smyrna Beach, Florida. I was going to say, when does he put his foot down? He can't wait. And the problem is, the Mazdas, even though they're an open top car, they do make a big hole in the air. There is an opportunity for drafting here, and that's exactly what's going on. Look at Roland in second place, and in third, the JTR car, that silver and yellow machine. So 4 minutes to go. That's this lap, and I think one more, as they come through the green flag waves. We'll see the white flag. Oh no, we've been told that. Oh, and behind, off on the infield, the red and white. Oh my goodness, that was a huge, huge save. Was that Wagner in the Spark Performance car?
No, that was Michael Carter.
It was Michael Carter. Yes, you're right.
It was Hernan Palermo who went a little bit early, John, in that bright yellow machine and got into Carter slightly. The 20 is all over the track right now. It was also Grant Wagner who was getting a little bit wild on the restart. I wonder if race control is going to have another look at that. But somehow they all survived turn one.
And the leading quartet becomes a trio. It's still Pardis for Hixon that leads. Oh, and we're... This is, well, we got a word that it would be, this would be the last lap. I wonder whether we'll see the, I did not see the white flag, Shea, if I'm honest, over the start finish line.
Not too much time left on the clock.
I think there'll be one more lap around after this one. Oh my goodness me, could we have any more drama? What a brilliant run it's been for Preston Pardis, for Hixon Motorsport, and once again, the teammate in the 87, just a little bit of bump drafting in that car in second, selling Roland from Orlando. And look at the third place car. Here comes Thomas. Thomas trying to get a bit of a draft. There's an overlap here into the bus stop. One more time around at the end of this. The top eight or nine are together. If anyone makes a mistake here, anyone in the top 10, all the way down to Justin Piscitelli and Brian Ortiz now, by the way, is up into 10th position. He's got ahead of Attanasio on the restart. So Brian Ortiz is inside the top 10 now in the number 4 car. And anyone in the top 10. And look, the brake light's coming on from the second place driver. He's not actually braking. He's just riding the brake with his left foot so he doesn't run into the leader. And wide and high on the top side. This is an extraordinary run from Wagner, the Spark Performance car that was on pole position. He's gone up into third for the moment. The red, white and black car tries to get into second. He's not going to do that, but I think he's going to muscle his way into third. He's on the inside for the right-hand turn. What a run from Wagner. What a brilliant run from Wagner. And that shows the speed that the pole sitter had. And Gresham Wagner is up into third. Can he get any further up the field, Chair?
Yes, he can. With that sort of determination, Gresham Wagner started that rerun a long way back. The top three were starting to check out. We saw them bump drafting each other with the sustained contact once again from Salvin Roland on Preston Pardis, but it didn't matter. Gresham Wagner had the hole in the air. He had the draft, and he was making his way up to the top three, nearly getting around all of them going into turn one. very aggressive move, but it worked. And now the car that started on pole, looking to try and get the most points from the day by winning the race.
I love how there's a little tap on the brakes from Gresham, the man from Williamsburg, the Spark Performance car, the red, white and black car. Any one of these top four could still win. There is the run to the line now. Here they come. Is it going to be Preston Pardus? I think he's done enough. Oh, I'm not sure. I've said that. And down the inside, he goes rolling into the bus stop for the final time. Beautiful flat slide by the leader. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I really don't know. I've seen races from this position here at Daytona won by the car that's third or fourth in the line. It could even be Gresham Wagner, who was on pole position. He benefited from the full course yellow one, Lonnie Hunter's car, and all of a sudden from line astern, it's one, two, three, it's going to be four wide as they go on the line. I've got no clue at all. The Idemitsu Mazda MX-5, round one of 2020, it could be any one of four cars, and it's Wagner. Wagner wins from pole position. Extraordinary. You look at this, you look at the grid, you see the five car started on pole, you see the five car wins at the end, you think there's nothing to talk about, and yet, extraordinary stuff. At one stage there, Shea Adam, there were five cars across the track here at Daytona. MX-5 Racing, absolutely quality.
Wagner knew that if you go all the way up to the wall, you carry a little bit more speed through. Jared Thomas putting two wheels down below the yellow line, and our leaders for the entirety of the race completely enveloped by a swarm of cars behind them. That was the sort of instance that you didn't want to watch, but you couldn't find yourself looking away. And Gresham Wagner finally starting out this season as the championship points leader, getting the win at Daytona International Speedway.
Hannah Palamo in their bright yellow number 20 slipstream. What slipstream performance car, living up to its name, at fourth position for him. The leaders coming out of the bus stop. Pardus finishes eighth. Roland, who was second, finishes seventh. An extraordinary run to the line. But in some ways, I'm not surprised at all, because that's what we've come to expect with Idemitsu MX-5 Cup Racing, presented by BF Goodrich.
My heart goes out to Preston Pardus. Led every lap of the race except the last one, swallowed up by the pack, passed even by his best friend and wingman for the entirety of the race. Brings it home in the eighth position. That is not the result that he wanted. And he might learn something from today to go into tomorrow, i.e. you don't want to be leading on the last lap.
Well, he did nothing wrong, and he comes out. Even as he comes out of turn four, he's doing all right. And Roland's with him. Then down the inside, we've got a couple of cars, but it is up on the high side that Gresham Wagner makes the move and drags through as well the number 24 car of Aaron Johnson, the Provision Motorsports car, and he gets through as well. Macumbi McAleer Racing car. That was the 28 that came through. Johnson was a little bit further back in ninth position. Oh, my goodness me. What an awesome way to round off the daylight running at Daytona for Thursday of the Rolex week. We'll have a chance to have a chat with those that have won in a little while. For those of you on IMSA Radio, well, you've got to say that the only lap that it counts to lead is the one that comes to the checkered flag. It's a hard lesson to learn for Preston Pardus, who led everything coming up to the line but not the last quarter of a lap. And the man who started on pole position came through to win it. Well done to Gresham Wagner. That was Mazda MX-5 Racing live from Daytona. So here on RS2 IMSA Radio, we will take a breath, gather our thoughts. Shit, Adam, if that's the first race of the season for the Idemitsu MX5 Championship, we've got a decent championship. In fairness, the man that won, who was on pole position, Gresham Wagner, did get the fastest lap of the race, or not on the last lap, although you might have thought so. 208.5, 3/10 quicker than pretty much anyone else. What do you make of that? Sum that one up. 45 minutes of sheer excitement.
How about the fact that the guy who finished second was somebody we didn't even mention in the race broadcast because he was not in the top five? Sam Paley, shout out to you, a student of business who last year did a couple of rounds, but this year clearly making much more of a statement. And we are trying to get a hold of our race winner, Gresham Wagner, who is pulling into victory lane.
Let's see if we can link up with them now down in victory lane. Hello, Gresham, can you hear us? This is John and Shea in the Idemitsu MX5 broadcast booth. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can.
Man, I don't even know where to start with that from you. So you qualify at the front of the field, you watch the first four disappear in front of you, then you get the full course yellow and win the race. I said in the play-by-play, if you look at the grid and you look at the end, you think, well, the guy who started on pole won the race. Man, talk us through that one, particularly that last, I was going to say quarter of a lap, it wasn't even that, the last run to the line.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even know where to start. I got the green flag and immediately just had a few issues with the electronics on the car. So going down to turn one there, I had to shut it off on about lap two and fell back to wherever I did. And once I got it fired back up, the car was good and everything. But by the time I'd gotten back up to fifth place there, you know, the leaders, they were nose to tail and everything. I was just kind of sitting there by myself waiting to see what happened. And I actually waited up a bit to catch that second pack and see if we could run the leaders down. Then we got that yellow. And, yeah, that kind of changed the entire race there because, you know, it gave everyone a second chance. I know everyone was super aggressive there on the final two or three laps. And I wish I could tell you how that last little bit to the line happened, but I'm not really sure. You know, we always had huge runs. I happened to go high, and somebody drilled me in the back, and I came out first. And that's about it as far as I can tell.
Come on, you've got to tell me right now, in proper racing driver speak, that you saw the opportunity to go high and you went high. It's no good saying, I have no clue what happened. But, I mean, that is MX5 racing, isn't it?
I don't think anybody had a clue exactly what was going to happen there. I think everyone knew it was going to be crazy.
You.
But, you know, Celine moved up to go to the middle, and I just went up one lane higher and, you know, the guys that gave me a shove happened to go with me and not him. I guess I just got lucky there, quite frankly.
What have you learned, Gresham, from that to what will happen tomorrow? Daytona's not like any other track, even the road course. You know, it's not like any other track because of the speedway sections. A couple of things I want to ask you. How did the BF Goodrich tyres stand up? And what have you learned for the race tomorrow?
Well, tomorrow is going to be in the early morning, you know, cooler temps, and usually the tires hang on good regardless, but I think for sure tomorrow morning we should be able to run pretty hard on them through the duration of the race. I will say, even though I did go to the back and then come back and win, I still think the easiest way to do it is to try to stay up front in the top three or four and not
you
have
think?
To rely on caution or luck, you know. So hopefully, you know, I start on pole tomorrow morning and I make it a bit easier for myself and try to stay up there in that top bunch.
What's the key? I've driven one of these cars, albeit when it had the H pattern box. What's the key to getting a good lap time and a good race out of these cars? They don't have a lot of power, but the power-to-rate ratio is good because they're quite a light car. They are a proper-built racing car, though I know they start as street cars. Is it all about momentum through the turns and how brave you are into the apex?
I think the biggest thing, you know, everyone's pretty much rolling as much speed as they can. You know, it's not as stop and start as some of the other cars you see out here. But I still think there's a lot of time to be made up on the brakes. Because the cars are so light, you can really drive it into the corner deep and still get it to rotate and make the apex of the corner. So it's finding that threshold on the brakes where you're not on the ABS and going it too deep, but you're also making up as much time as you can and getting the car rotated. And with the auto blip and the new sequential, you can kind of take advantage of the engine braking a bit more than when you're having to heel toe, you know, and be really gentle down through the H pattern. Now you can kind of just jam it down and, you know, the auto blip catches up and does most of the work for you, honestly.
I've lost all my advantage now. I better not get better in one. Listen, go and enjoy. We've held you up too long. The formalities await. Gresham Wagner, Spark Performance, wins the first round of the Idemitsu Mazda MX-5 Cup for 2020, presented by BF Goodrich. Well done, young man. Enjoy the evening. We'll talk to you tomorrow again if you can get back onto the top step.
Hopefully, I'll try my hardest.
Good for you, young man. Excellent stuff. Share, Adam, final thoughts from you. First of all, a very, very mature drive from Gresham. Started on pole, had those issues, didn't let that bother him. Got the second opportunity with the safety car. And I love his honesty about, I've no clue. I got hit up the back. I went high because that's where the gap was. And I won the race. Magnificent stuff.
Yeah, I wish we could get more winning interviews out of Daytona races that are like that instead of, oh, yeah, I planned it the whole way along. Nope, I have no idea what happened. It just happened and I won the race. It's refreshing. And to hear his enthusiasm for the sport and to think we don't have to wait, but what, 15 or so hours before we get to do it all again tomorrow.
Shea Adam was with me in the Idemitsu Mazda broadcast booth. Thanks to our technical team, including the team up at Charlotte from NASCAR Productions and our Tim Gray in our main control room up in London. Excuse me. We'll do it all again tomorrow. If you're listening on RS2 IMSA Radio now, don't go away. We have still got evening practice, nighttime practice tonight for the WeatherTech Sports Car Championship. We'll cover that for you on RS2 at imsaradio.com. I need to go for a lie down in a darkened room now. Mazda MX-5 racing. Oh, how can you not love it? See you soon.
This program is a Radio Show Limited production. For more, check imsaradio.com and subscribe to IMSA Radio wherever you get your podcasts.